Now, if we'll turn to our psalm reading, Psalm 14, found on page 746, and together we will read. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God.
They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none that does good.
The Lord looks down from heaven on all people to see if there are any that are wise and who seek after God.
They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is none that does good. No, not one.
Have they no knowledge, the evildoers, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord?
There they shall be in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous.
You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge.
Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion, when the Lord restores their fortunes. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad.
Our second reading from Holy Scripture comes from the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 4, 11 through 12, and then following up with 22 through 28. You can find this in the Hebrew Bible of your pew Bible on page 660. Hear these difficult words. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert toward my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse, a wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this, the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. It can be found on page 196 in the New Testament in your pew Bibles. In a sense, this is a testimony from Paul, which does not only apply to Paul, but I think it applies to everyone here today. Hear these words. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I receive mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of all ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us turn, as we've been doing for several weeks, to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Potentially very familiar readings. Hear these words. That reading, if you'd like to follow along, is on page 73 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible, 15, 1 through 10. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I think many of us have frogs in our throats. When you read, or when you hear, this pair of parables from the Gospel of Luke, I hope that it feels simple and familiar and comfortable. There's an old expression that may be completely appropriate for you when you think of this passage. It goes like this: "I know that story like the back of my own hand." Have you ever heard that expression? The point is that your own hand is simple and familiar and comfortable. Does it ring true for you in terms of this Luke passage? "I know that story like the back of my own hand." Well, I hope that this is true for you, for this passage from the Bible, and for many more besides. But this morning, I want you to look at your own two hands. I want you to open them up with the backsides up and look at them right now, your two hands. As you do, I want to suggest that there may be two different ways to look at these stories from Jesus, like the back of my own hand. On the one hand, I want you to consider these stories from the perspective of the shepherd and the woman who lost her coin. Look at your right hand, the back of your right hand. We often forget about the context of these parables. Jesus is speaking directly to all the tax collectors and sinners, as the scripture tells us. In the eyes of that society, tax collectors and sinners were the lowest of the low. People who were generally shunned by the religious establishment as not worthy of coming into the synagogue and not even worthy of being associated with, tax collectors and sinners. But now, as his reputation is spreading, Jesus is approached by the Pharisees and the scribes, men of the upright religious authorities whose bread and butter is the strict interpretation of the religious law, the Torah. The Pharisees and the scribes are both attracted by Jesus' message and at the same time repulsed by his blasphemy. Scripture tells us that they come grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and he eats with them." In this cultural context, table fellowship, sharing food with someone, was not to be taken lightly. It was something generally shared only among social and religious equals. So Jesus tells this simple parable about the shepherd and the lost sheep. And then he tells the one about the woman who loses one of her 10 silver coins. As he tells it, Jesus is asking his listeners to imagine themselves in those two roles, as the shepherd and as the woman. You need to understand that shepherds and women were right down there with the lowest of the lows, with the sinners and tax collectors. So this would have been pretty tough for the Pharisees and the scribes to have to listen to. But Jesus also appeals to our basic collective humanity. Yeah, each of us would probably go after that lost sheep. And knowing you as I do, each of us would probably look until we found that silver coin. But it's not quite as simple as that. The shepherd in this story leaves his other 99 sheep wandering around unguarded in the wilderness while he goes off looking for this one lost sheep. The woman had 10 silver coins. She loses one of them, one drachma, which is about equal to what you'd earn from one day of labor at that time. Now, that one silver coin represents a full 10% of her life savings. So it's not an inconsequential sum. But even those details, as important as they are not the most important element of these stories. In both cases, in both of these stories, the shepherd and the woman have a big celebration among their friends in joyful gratitude that what was lost once more has been found. And this celebration is the key to these parables. Now, since you know these stories like the back of your own hand, you probably also remember that the shepherd and the woman represent God. God is pleased to be associated with shepherds and women and tax collectors and sinners. So much so that God has a celebration when anyone who is lost finds her way or his way back to kingdom living and back to God. So the big challenge, the hardest part for the Pharisees and the scribes and for us as well, the big challenge is whether we can share with God this extravagant love that welcomes all people to our table. This focused love that genuinely celebrates when someone who is lost comes back to following Jesus. As you look at your right hand, can you honestly say to yourself and to God that you have a love like this for all of God's children around you? On the other hand, I want you to consider these stories from the perspective of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Now, this isn't as easy, perhaps, to put yourself in that role, but I think it's really instructive. And it might even be meaningful for you. Take a look at your left hand. The back of your left hand. Just think what it would feel like if you were that one lost sheep, alone and terrified, wandering in the wilderness darkness, looking for your family, looking for all your sheep buddies, with no idea of where you are or where you're going. Pretty scary, huh? And your shepherd, the one who loves you so much, the one whose voice you know like the back of your hand, your shepherd comes looking for you and will not stop until he finds you. And when he does find you, he props you over his shoulder and hikes out to find the rest of your flock. And when he comes home, it says in Scripture, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." And just think what it would feel like, if you can, if you were that one lost coin. Just like the shepherd, the woman, your owner, searches diligently until she finds you. And when she has found you, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." And as I said before, because you know these stories like the back of your own hand, you remember that the shepherd and the woman represent God. It is a fact that God will never stop seeking you out. God will never give up on you. God will always offer you God's grace and comfort and the power of God's Holy Spirit. I want you to listen again to these words from Paul that Mark read. "I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I receive mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life." Do me a favor, open up both of your hands, palms up, and look at them. As you look at your own two hands, can you honestly say to yourself and to God that you are lost, that you are a sinner, and that you are in need of God's amazing and life-transforming grace? My sisters and brothers, I pray that you can and that you will. Shalom. Amen.